when we begin to realize that those jobs are not coming back, when we find that it is our home that is being foreclosed, or we can't, we are going into bankruptcy because we can't pay our medical bills, then you have a huge segment of the population which is unprepared psychologically, emotionally, intellectually for what hits them. And they will react like children, which is to search for a demagogue or a savior, somebody who promises moral renewal, vengeance, and new glory. It's an old story. Empires in their dotage or decline, that doesn't matter whether it's Rome or the Austro-Hungarian, oftentimes become frighteningly disconnected from what's happening to them. We now have run up the largest deficits in human history just from an economic standpoint. We cannot afford our imperial expansion, which is quite literally hollowing us out from the inside. It's why our infrastructure is crumbling. We have seen the looting of the U.S. Treasury and the largest transference of wealth upwards in American history, with Barack Obama's economic advisor, Lawrence Summers, talking about a jobless recovery. And the walls are literally crumbling around us, and we don't see it. And that is exceedingly dangerous.
And part of this is the sense of exceptionalism that is promoted by a myopic media.
Of course, the media is guilty of disseminating this fantasy when we talk about the recession ending, as if this is a recession. The economic indicators are great if you are part of that tiny oligarchy, that 1% that controls more wealth than the bottom 90% combined. But for the working class, which has largely been decimated, and the middle class, which is under tremendous assault, the situation is grim and getting grimmer.
But on my big screen, flat screen TV, American Idol is there to distract me on a nightly basis.
That's right. I mean, and that's, you know, societies that unmoor themselves from reality, and Cicero wrote about it when he critiqued the Roman arena. Poison their civil and political discourse with spectacle and entertainment and trivia. You know, much of what's happening to us can be blamed on this transformation from a print-based culture to an image-based culture. You have 42 million Americans who are illiterate. You have another 50 million Americans who are semi-literate, meaning they read at a fourth or fifth grade level. That's a third of the country. And then you have a huge segment of the population which is functionally literate. I mean, they can read, but they don't.
Yeah.
Totalitarian societies are image-based societies. We no longer deal with complexity and nuance. We confuse how we are made to feel with knowledge. We confuse propaganda with ideology. That's how Barack Obama got elected. Invest our emotional life in spectacle. That is where we're at. And societies that go down that route collapse morally, politically, economically.
And Chris Hedges, when you and I spoke in the election year of 2008, you were not buying what Obama was selling. And I give you credit. You are not a gloater who's going to tell me you told us so. But go ahead and tell us what you told me at the time, because you were on to the kind of spectacle, and in some respects, Obama was kind of a last-ditch extension of American exceptionalism into a slightly new direction.
Well, Obama functioned as a brand. If you remember a few years ago, Calvin Klein and Benetton put up these billboards with people of color, HIV-positive models, And it was meant to associate their product with the risque, with even the progressive. But the purpose, of course, with any brand is to make a consumer confuse a brand with an experience, and that's precisely what Obama was. It's not accidental that his campaign won the big advertising award of the year, beating out Nike and Apple and all these other big corporations. If you look, and I credit Dennis Kucinich here, I mean, Dennis told me, he said, you know, forget the rhetoric. Look at, you know, he was imitating the announcers when he was a boy at a ballpark. He says, get the scorecard. He says, look at the record. His voting record in his 2 years in the Senate was abysmal, actually less progressive than Hillary Clinton. And he was an opaque figure with very little track record on the national scene, so could be painted, sort of to please any particular group that wanted to see themselves within his candidacy. But his voting record was not good at all, and I think gave an indication, along with The Audacity of Hope, which if you read it, it's a fascinating book because almost every other page he is reassuring corporations that he believes in the unfettered market capitalism that got us into so much trouble. So I don't think it took a lot of research, but I think a cold, hard look at Obama as a candidate revealed that he was not going to disrupt the system of the corporate state or interfere with our permanent war economy or the surveillance state or thwart the imperial expansion in Afghanistan and the occupation of Iraq and all of that, or disrupt Israel's brutal repression of the Palestinians, especially in Gaza. And then, of course, as a candidate during that 22-day period when the Israelis were using attack aircraft on densely populated areas in Gaza City, Obama was mute.
Yep.
So I think that the indications were there. But you know, $600 million can spread very effective propaganda. And unfortunately, those people who consider themselves progressive swallowed it.